Council Directive 2000/78/EC of 27 November 2000, establishing a general framework for equal treatment in employment and occupation. Chapter 1. General Provisions. Article 1. Purpose. The purpose of this directive is to lay down a general framework for combating discrimination on the grounds of religion or belief, disability, age, or sexual orientation as regards employment and occupation, with a view to putting into effect into member states the principles of equal treatment. Article 2. Concept of discrimination. 1. For the purpose of this directive, the principle of equal treatment shall mean that there shall be no direct or indirect discrimination whatsoever on any of the grounds referred to in Article 1. 2. For the purpose of paragraph 1a, direct discrimination shall be taken to occur when one person is treated less favorably than another is, has been or would be treated in a comparable situation on any of the grounds referred to in Article 1. B. Direct discrimination shall be taken to occur where an apparently neutral provision, criterion, or practice would put persons having a particular religion or belief, a particular disability, a particular age, or a particular sexual orientation at a particular disadvantage compared with other persons unless I. That provision, criterion, or practice is objectively justified by a legitimate aim, and the means of achieving that aim are appropriate and necessary or II. As regards person with a particular disability, the employer or any person or organization to whom this directive applies is obliged under national legislation to take appropriate measures in line with the principles contained in Article 5 in order to eliminate disadvantages entailed by such provision, criterion, or practice. 3. Harassment shall be deemed to be a form of discrimination within the meaning of paragraph 1 when unwanted conduct related to any of the grounds referred to in Article 1 takes place with the purpose or effect of violating the dignity of a person and of creating an intimidating, hostile, degrading, humiliating, or offensive environment. In this context, the concept of harassment may be defined in accordance with the national laws and practice of the member states. 4. An instruction to discriminate against persons on any of the grounds referred to in Article 1 shall be deemed to be discrimination within the meaning of paragraph 1. 5. This directive shall be without prejudice to measures laid down by national law which in democratic society are necessary for public security, for the maintenance of public order and the prevention of criminal offenses, for the protection of health, and for the protection of the rights and freedoms of others. Article 3. Scope. 1. Within the limits of the areas of competence conferred on the community, this directive shall apply to all persons as regards both the public and the private sectors, including public bodies, in relation to a. conditions for access to employment, to self-employment, to or to occupation, including selection criteria and recruitment conditions, whatever the branch of activity and all levels of the professional hierarchy, including promotion. B. Access to all types and to all levels of vocational guidance, vocational training, advanced vocational training, and retraining, including practical work experience. C. Employment and working conditions, including dismissals and pay. D. Membership of and involvement in an organization of workers or employers, or any organization whose members carry on a particular profession, including benefits provided for by such organizations. 2. This directive does not cover differences of treatment based on nationality and is without prejudice to provisions and conditions relating to the entry into and residence of third country nationals and stateless persons in the territory of member states, and to any treatment which arises from the legal status of the third country nationals and stateless persons concerned. 3. This directive does not apply to payments of any kind made by state schemes or similar, include state social security or social protection schemes. 4. Member states may provide that this directive, insofar as it relates to discrimination on the grounds of disability and age, shall not apply to the armed forces. Article 4. Occupational requirements. 1. Notwithstanding Article 2, 1 and 2, member states may provide that a difference of treatment which is based on a characteristic related to any of the grounds referred to in Article 1 shall not constitute discrimination where, by reason of the nature of a particular occupational activity is concerned or of the context in which they are carried out, such a characteristic constitutes a genuine and determining occupational requirement, provided that the objective is legitimate and the requirement is proportionate. 2. Member states may maintain relational legislation in force at the date of the adoption of this directive, or provide for future legislation incorporating national practices existing at the date of adoption of this directive, pursuant to which, in the case of occupational activities within churches and other public or private organizations, the ethos of which is based on religion or belief, a difference of treatment based on a person's religion or belief shall not constitute discrimination where, by reason of the nature of these activities or of the context in which they are carried out, a person's religion or belief constitute a genuine, legitimate and justified occupational requirement having regard to the organization's ethos. This difference of treatment shall be implemented taking account of the member state's constitutional provisions and principles, as well as the general principles of community law, and shouldn't justify discrimination on another ground, provided that its provisions are otherwise complied with. This directive shall not prejudice the right of churches and other public or private organizations, the ethos of which is based on religion or belief, acting in conformity with national constitutions and laws, to require individuals working for them to act in good faith and with loyalty to the organization's ethos. Article 5. Reasonable accommodation for disabled persons. In order to guarantee compliance with the principle of equal treatment in relation to persons with disabilities, reasonable accommodation shall be provided. This means that employers shall take appropriate measures where needed in a particular case to enable a person with a disability to have access to, participate in, or advance in employment or to undergo training, unless such measures would impose a disproportionate burden on the employer. This burden shall not be disproportionate when it is sufficiently remedied by measures existing within the framework of disability policy of the member state concerned. Article 6. Justification of differences of treatment on grounds of age. 1. Notwithstanding Article 2.2, member states may provide that differences of treatment on grounds of age shall not constitute discrimination if, within the context of national law, they are objectively and reasonably justified by a legitimate aim, including legitimate employment policy, labor market, and vocational training objectives, and if the means of achieving that aim are appropriate and necessary. Such differences of treatment may include, among others, a. the setting of special conditions on access to employment and vocational training, employment and occupation, including dismissal and The setting of special conditions on access to employment and vocational training, employment and occupation, including dismissal and remuneration conditions for young people, older workers, and persons with caring responsibilities in order to promote their vocational integration or ensure their protection. B. The fixing of minimum conditions of age, professional experience or seniority in service for access to employment or to certain advantages linked to employment. C. The fixing of a maximum age for recruitment which is based on training requirements of the post in question or the need for a reasonable period of employment before retirement. 2. Notwithstanding Article 2.2, member states may provide that the fixing for occupational social security schemes of ages for admission or entitlement to retirement or invalidity benefits, including the fixing under those schemes of different ages for employees, or groups or categories of employees and the use in the context of such schemes or of age criteria in actuarial calculations does not constitute discrimination on the grounds of age, provided this does not result in discrimination on the grounds of sex. Article 7. Positive action. 1. With a view to ensuring full equality in practice, the principle of equal treatment shall not prevent any member state from maintaining or adopting specific measures to prevent or compensate for disadvantages linked to any of the grounds referred to in Article 1. 2. With regard to disabled persons, the principle of equal treatment shall be without prejudice to the right of member states to maintain or adopt provisions on the protection of health and safety at the work, or to measures aimed at creating or maintaining provisions or facilities for safeguarding or promoting their integration into the working environment. Article 8. Minimum requirements. 1. Member states may introduce or maintain provisions which are more favorable to the protection of the principle of equal treatment than those laid down in this directive. 2. The implementation of this directive shall under no circumstances constitute grounds for a reduction in the level of protection against discrimination already afforded by member states in the fields covered by this directive. Chapter 2. Remedies and Enforcement. Article 9. Defense of Rights. 1. Member states shall ensure that judicial or the administrative procedures, including where they deem it appropriate conciliation procedures for the enforcement of obligations under this directive, are available to all persons who consider themselves wronged by failure to apply the principle of equal treatment to them, even after the relationship in which the discrimination is alleged to have occurred has ended. 2. Member states shall ensure that associations, organizations, or other legal entities which have, in accordance with the criteria laid down by their national law, a legitimate interest in ensuring that the provisions of this directive are complied with, may engage, either on behalf or in support of the complainant, with his or her approval in any judicial or administrative procedure provided for the enforcement of obligations under this directive. 3. Paragraphs 1 and 2 are without prejudice to national rules relating to time limits for bringing actions as regards to principles of equality of treatment. Article 10. Burden of Proof. 1. Member states shall take such measures as are necessary in accordance with their national judicial systems to ensure that when persons who consider themselves wronged because the principle of equal treatment has not been applied to them establish, before a court or other competent authority, facts from which it may be presumed that there has been direct or indirect discrimination, it shall be for the respondent to prove that there has been no breach of the principle of equal treatment. 2. Paragraph 1 shall not prevent member states from introducing rules of evidence which are more favorable to plaintiffs. 3. Paragraph 1 shall not apply to criminal procedures. 4. Paragraphs 1, 2, and 3 shall also apply to any legal proceedings commenced in accordance with Article 9, 2. 5. Member states need not apply paragraph 1 to proceedings in which it is for the court or competent body to investigate the facts of the case. Article 11. Victimization. Member states shall introduce into their national legal systems such measures as are necessary to protect employees against dismissal or other adverse treatment by the employer as a reaction to the complaints within the undertaking or to any legal proceedings aimed at enforcing compliance with the principles of equal treatment. Article 12. Dissemination of Information. Member states shall take care that the provisions adopted pursuant to this directive, together with the relevant provisions already in force in this field, are brought to the attention of the persons concerned by all appropriate means, for example at the workplace throughout the territory. Article 13. Social Dialogue. 1. Member states shall, in accordance with their national traditions and practice, take adequate measures to promote dialogue between the social partners with a view to fostering equal treatment, including through the monitoring of workplace practices, collective agreements, codes of conduct, and through research or exchange of experience and good practices. 2. Where consistent with their national traditions and practice, member states shall encourage the social partners, without prejudice to their autonomy, to conclude at the appropriate level agreements laying down anti-discrimination rules in the fields referred to in Article 3, which fall within the scope of collective bargaining. These agreements shall respect the minimum requirements laid down by this directive and by the relevant national implementing measures. Article 14. Dialogue with non-governmental organizations. Member states shall encourage dialogue with appropriate non-governmental organizations which have, in accordance with their national law and practice, a legitimate interest in contributing to the fight against discrimination on any of the grounds referred to in Article 1, with a view to promoting the principle of equal treatment. Chapter 3. Particular Provisions. Article 15. Northern Ireland. 1. In order to tackle the underrepresentation of any of the major religious communities in the police service of Northern Ireland, differences in treatment regarding recruitment into the service, including its support staff, shall not constitute discrimination insofar as those differences in treatment are expressly authorized by national legislation. 2. In order to maintain a balance of opportunity in employment for teachers in Northern Ireland while furthering the reconciliation of historical divisions between the major religious communities there, and provisions on religion or belief in this directive shall not apply to the recruitment of teachers in schools in Northern Ireland insofar as this expressly authorized by national legislation. Chapter 4. Final Provisions. Article 16. Compliance. Member states shall take the necessary measures to ensure that a. any laws, regulations, and administrative provisions contrary to the principle of equal treatment are abolished. B. Any provisions contrary to the principle of equal treatment, which are included in contracts or collective agreements, internal rules of undertakings, or rules governing the independent occupations and professions and workers and employers' organizations are, or may be, declared null and void or are amended. Article 17. Sanctions. Member states shall lay down the rules on sanctions applicable to infringements of the national provisions adopted pursuant to this directive and shall take all measures necessary to ensure that they are applied. The sanctions, which may comprise the payment of compensation to the victim, must be effective, proportionate, and dissuasive. Member states shall notify those provisions to the Commission by 2 December 2003 at the latest and shall notify it without delay of any subsequent amendment affecting them. Article 18. Implementation. Member states shall adopt the laws, regulations, and administrative provisions necessary to comply with this directive by 2 December 2003 at the latest, or may entrust the social partners at their joint request with the implementation of this directive as regards provisions concerning collective agreements. In such cases, member states shall ensure that no later than 2 December 2003 the social partners introduced the necessary measures by agreement, the member states concerned being required to take any necessary measures to enable them at any time to be in position to guarantee the results imposed by this directive. They shall forthwith inform the Commission thereof. In order to take account of particular conditions, member states may, if necessary, have an additional period of 3 years from 2 December 2003. That's to say, a total of 6 years, to implement the provisions of this directive on age and disability discrimination. In that event, they shall inform the Commission forthwith. Any member state which chooses to use this additional period shall report annually to the Commission on the steps it is taking to tackle age and disability discrimination and on the progress it is making towards implementation. The Commission shall report annually to the Council. When member states adopt these measures, they shall contain a reference to this directive or be accompanied by such reference on the occasion of their official publication. The methods of making such reference shall be laid down by member states. Article 19. Report 1. Member states shall communicate to the Commission by 2 December 2005 at the latest and every 5 years thereafter all the information necessary for the Commission to draw up a report to the European Parliament and the Council on the application of this directive. 2. The Commission's report shall take into account as appropriate the viewpoints of the social partners and relevant non-governmental organizations. In accordance with the principle of gender mainstreaming, this report shall, inter alia, provide an assessment of the impact of the measures taken on women and men. In the light of the information received, this report shall include, if necessary, proposals to revise and update this directive. Article 20. Enter into force. This directive shall enter into force on the day of its publication in the official journal of the European Communities. Article 21. Addresses. This directive is addressed to the member states. Done at Brussels, 27 November 2000. Birinci ayrımın sonu, sayfa 37.